Chapter 7.
We have two rabbits also.
Yeah, that's the rabbits. Hey, thank you for your phone calls. I appreciate it. Thank you for your texts and Facebook. You know how much that means to you, and your prayers. And keep my wife in prayer, because I tell you what, she was a nurse to Balboa this last 3 months, especially the last 3 weeks when he really needed care. You know, because you don't give Balboa pills. Spits them out. Put in peanut butter. He'll go around it. Put in his food. He'll eat the whole bowl of food and the pill will be there. That's the way he was, right? Pastor Jack was his buddy. He knows. Micah chapter 7. No, I'll miss him. Look at verse 8. These are just a couple of scriptures I'm giving you before we get into the message on condemnation. But it says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Don't focus on the fall. Focus on you getting up. He says, "When I arise." Too many people focus on the fall. But you're getting back up. That's what you focus on. Isn't that right? Now look over to Zephaniah, Old Testament, chapter 3. Zephaniah. Appreciate Pastor Jack and Timmy doing the services. These guys all do good jobs, I'm telling you. Great jobs. Try to fall asleep. I like to listen to a CD or something with Timmy's on. I couldn't do it. Because when Timmy talks, he like shouts. It's a little bit. Oh, he's doing that so you can hear. You know that. Or that he can't hear. I don't know. You have to ask him. Get him and Bob together. I tell you, I bet that's a rule. Whew. I'm trying to make myself happy. Did you go to Zephaniah yet? Is that where we're supposed to be going?
Yep.
All right, I'm checking up on you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save us. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Now, I had to look another translation up because it didn't make sense. He will rest in his love. The NLT says he will quiet you with his love. He's going to quiet us with his love. And I like that idea. I want to quote something from a woman named Lisa Turkhurst. This will really set you free, church. She says, "Live from the abundant place that you are loved, and you won't find yourself begging others for scraps of love." I'll do that again, all right? Live from the abundant place that you are loved, and you won't find yourself begging others for scraps of love. I like that. Now, the definition of condemnation, as we go on to teach condemnation or conviction, see if you are living there. Hopefully not, right? Condemnation is defined as expressing strong disapproval of, pronouncing judgment against, sentence, or declaring to be unfit. Condemnation stops you from growing. If a water doesn't flow, it stagnates. If a rose doesn't bloom, it wilts and eventually dies. And if you don't work your muscles, it atrophies. Look to Philippians chapter 3. These guys and girls that come up do a great job. Philippians 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Now, as many times as we read this, you know you get revelation each time you read this. This one thing he did. this one thing he did. And if he didn't do this one thing, he would have never been able to touch two-thirds of the continents in his time without modern transportation. Saul of Tarsus was a murderer, imprisoned Christians. But he said, this one thing I did, this is what he's talking about here, is forgetting those things which are behind. See, he was no longer Saul of Tarsus. He got born again. He was Paul the Apostle. But he had thoughts that came against him just like you do. Now, you will never fight a thought with a thought. You fight a thought with the Word of God. And everybody gets thought coming against them. Just don't let them stop and lay a nest or lay an egg in your head or something like that. Brother Hagin used to say, birds will fly over your head, just don't let them build a nest there. Same with the thoughts. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you can do about your past mistakes and those past decisions you once made. But even though you cannot change them, you can change where you're going by focusing on the good that lies ahead of you. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Amplified says, For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, and to give you hope in your final outcome. The enemy, if you don't focus on that, will pull up your historic resume. Isn't that right? To convince you of a hopeless future. He does that with all of us. Hopeless resume. Your past history is not a validation or qualification for your destiny, but your faith is. You get that? All right. Our past has a way of tagging along behind us. Does your past do that sometimes? Nagging at us and forcing us to spend a lot of time struggling with the voice of condemnation, guilt, shame, and regret. Maybe some of you struggle with that. Maybe all of us struggle with that. It's time to turn the tables on your past. One reason leaving your past behind can be so difficult is because of the satanic strategy formed against you to keep you there. Satan has a strategy. He wants to keep you in your past. He will throw all your failures back in your face. Ever do that to you? Now, you don't have to answer that. And weigh you down with guilt and condemnation. He wants you to turn away from God. That's his purpose. And give up. His plan is to isolate you so he can lie to you. He does know what buttons to push. If you listen to the voice of condemnation, things will never change. Isn't that right? As long as you are alive and breathing, the final chapter of your life has not been written. Tomorrow is a blank page. So you're the scribe. You're the writer. You got a clean, fresh sheet awaiting you tomorrow. It's in your hands. Isn't that right? Who's going to determine the rest of your story? But you got to get off the treadmill of condemnation. Let's look back to Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 1. In verse 26, And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all, and over every creepeth thing. I have to say this every time I do this. You got authority over creeps. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now look to verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You have that dominion. It's been given to you. Isn't that right? The book of Genesis has the laws of first mention. And that's an important law. Something that was mentioned for the first time. As well as the systems of God. God made man and woman in his own image, after his likeness, and he gave you authority. He is a righteous God, and he made righteous people. Remember that. Many have overlooked this fact. Because we always relate to Adam with the fall, that's why I read that scripture in the beginning, not realizing that he was created in a righteous state. Nobody identifies with Adam in his righteous state before the fall. But after the fall, Adam exchanged confidence for condemnation. Trust for shame. Faith for fear. And peace for paranoia. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He wasn't afraid before the fall, before he committed high treason. That's what brought the fear in. And verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, look over to Colossians chapter 1. You get anything out of this church? Something, anyway. Too fast? Too slow? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, in you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that now hath he reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This entire passage reveals to us how to stay out of condemnation. First of all, we're to be at peace with him through the blood of Jesus. That's what the word says, right? He died so you could live free from condemnation. He reconciled you from being alienated, becoming an enemy in your mind, and instead you become sons and daughters of God. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify to the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation. That doesn't mean us talking to one another. That's in the Greek means manner of life. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitfulness, deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we put on. He died so he could present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. All this if you continue being grounded and settled in the faith. All this if you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Isn't that right? Okay. Separation is also a symptom of condemnation. Separation is also a symptom of condemnation. This system was demonstrated in Adam and Eve as they isolated themselves from God by hiding. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed. See? The enemy's primary focus to isolate us through guilt and shame and to keep us in a hopeless state, separated from our source. Who's our source? If you're in condemnation, then you don't have confidence toward God, and then you want to stay out of fellowship with God, then you never pray to God. In fact, you know what? Let me stop. I hear a lot of people doing this in our church. It's surprising me because this is how you get prayers answered. John 16. I'm just taking a little detour here because I was prompted by this. John 16. We ought to go with the word says. Isn't that right? I don't have this written down, so just give me a second or two or three. It's prayer. If you ask anything, if you find it first, don't be embarrassed to help me. I'll take all the help I can get. I'll read the whole chapter. Okay, thanks, Dean. But I'll start to ready. Look at verse 23. How about if you echo me? And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I'm surprised at people that I hear. You know, I listen to your CDs. Right, Jack? They pray. And they never say, in Jesus' name. He gives us the scriptural formula how to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I don't know if they get tired and forget the ending or what. No. No condemnation. Romans chapter 8. Oh, thank you for making it easy to preach. I feel like that one guy. His mother's trying to get him to go to church. Now, sometimes you have to get your kids to go to church. He didn't want to go. He's hiding under the covers. So he said to his mother, give me a couple of reasons why I should go down there. She said, number one, you are 40 years old. Number two, you are their pastor. Ah, praise God. We got to laugh, church. How about it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a question. How about tribulation? Distress? Persecution? How about famine? Nakedness? Peril? How about the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. What are you going through? That's present. What you are going through right now is present tense. That should not separate you from the love of God. Or things to come. That's future. What's ever coming at you in the future should not separate you from the love of God. But you got to stick next to him, right? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is always ready to receive us with open arms. Condemnation has several symptoms. We won't be able to get to all of them. But you know it has guilt, shame, blame, regret. We consciously or unconsciously do what Adam and Eve did down and back in the garden. Tend to point an accusing finger, assigning blame to someone else for something that you did. So when we're accusing someone else, that's a form of condemnation. The devil is vicious, but he's not victorious. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength. Here it is, a very present help. For the situations that you are meeting right now presently, he's our present help. Another reason we blame others is to make ourselves feel better. Condemnation and sin eat at and erode covenant relations. They will also erode your confidence toward God. Condemnation lowers your self-esteem. It causes you to doubt yourself. Doesn't it? Condemnation is a satanic system that started in the garden to rob mankind of his God-given rights. Condemnation steals the best of who we are by reinforcing the worst of what's been said about us or said to us. Did you get that? Need any more? A little more? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. You know what? I'm going to excuse myself when I'm done ministering. You don't mind. If you people come up to me, hug me, and make me cry, I don't want to do that. I'm teasing. I got to go check on my wife. 2 Corinthians 5. Pray for her. She's having it tough, I tell you. I just try to think of funny stories. Seriously. Like when he was chasing Jack up the attic and he fell right through the hole. He had 9 lives. One time I'm going over to Doc's. And remember Preston that came to our church? Over there by Sheets. Preston jumps in the car. Balboa jumps out. You know what's behind me. Semi-trucks. They're over there. So I just put that car in park. I don't care if somebody hit the car or not. And Preston was still in it. I said, get out. And Balboa ran over to the sidewalk to go with his family. Not go, but at least he went over to his family, to the family, you know. with kids. So I got him, I retrieved him. But he's had quite a few lives, I think. Years ago, some of you probably don't remember Rocky, but we used to go to all the Blackhawk games. You know, I still bleed color up north, red and white. Anyway, the girls were there and so forth. So, and Bert was teaching there. She knew the ball players, but one of Steph's girlfriends, they left after us, left the door open. Rocky, docile, he was a good guy. For 2 hours in the frigid weather, he stood on the stoop, very beyond my house, of the back access way, you know, to go into the house, the mud room. I told Bert, if that had been Balboa, he'd have been halfway to Chicago. Different temperaments. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ or woman, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. That old man's dead. But the enemy and some good friends will try to bring it up to you. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, when hath committed us the word of reconciliation. Now, when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did to be reconciled to God. Now, look at this. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And don't let anybody embarrass you when you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what Jesus did for you. And that's what he wants you to say. One of the benefits of your righteousness is access. Get access to God. We must embrace our righteousness consciousness. And that comes through renewing your mind. You know how important it is to renew the mind? We must stop allowing condemnation to steal from us. Now, the opposite of condemnation is conviction. Conviction is a healthy response to guilt, not unhealthy. Conviction produces a state of mind that brings repentance and change of behavior. And the author of conviction is the Holy Spirit. Right? We already read John 16. I don't want to go back. I want to finish this up. Some respond to sin or wrongdoing with guilt. Guilt will then evolve into either unhealthy condemnation or the healthy conviction of the Holy Spirit. The first, the unhealthy, produces torment. While the healthy conviction produces repentance and release. Shame, though frequently confused with guilt, is different. Unlike guilt, shame is not a response to something you've done, but a response to who and what you perceive yourself to be. In other words, instead of you having a righteousness nature, you have a shame-based nature, and that's not healthy. Jesus paid a price for you through the blood of Jesus. Well, thank you for your prayers. Continue keeping us in your prayers. You know what it's like, people. Some people think that's weird.